And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world. You know, today's program is going to be so vital, so essential to you, that I'm going to ask you right now, dear friends, if you haven't been listening to my program for a long time, and I know I have many, many faithful listeners that probably have memorized our telephone number for orders and our address by heart, but if you have not, please, right now, get you a pen or a pencil and some paper. You're going to want to write down the ordering information, because when you hear what we're going to discuss today with my guest, you're going to want to order his book. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I believe this is the most important book at this time in our lives. Let me repeat that. This is the most important book that you will read at this moment, this era, this period in our lives. And I believe in destiny. And I believe that Dr. Henry Macko, my guest today, must also believe that there is a great guiding hand that leads each of us. And I believe that God has led Dr. Henry Macko to write this book. And he's brought this book to my attention. And I'm talking about God now, so that I would offer it to as big an audience as I can. I wish I had an even larger audience. Because, you know, this is something interesting. This book, by the way, let me just give you the title of it. And in a moment, I'm going to introduce my special guest. And he is very special. I've been reading his work for a number of years now. He writes regularly for Rents.com. Articles, and they're some of the most insightful and discerning articles that you can read about culture, about society, about the way our minds are being shaped today by certain forces. The title of his book that he has written is Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World. Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World. Now, I should not have to make a special effort to tell you this, but I'm going to go ahead and do so, because perhaps it is significant in a way. Dr. Henry Macko is a Jewish man. Now, to me, and I'm going to ask him what it means to him, he explains it exactly in the book what being a Jew means. But there are many today that ask, is this a Jewish conspiracy? And if it is a Jewish global conspiracy of the Illuminati, what does that mean? What does it mean for Gentiles? What does it mean for Jews? And of course, there's great controversy over this. A lot of angst out there. And there are people that have picked certain groups, whether it's, the Bohemian Grove and the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, or, they pick, the Vatican, the Jesuits, and there's all kinds of things out there, but I believe that Dr. Henry Macko's book actually, to use a euphemism, it nails it exactly as to what the Illuminati is. It is a cult. It is a satanic cult. Now, why is it important that a Jew has written this book? Well, I'm going to ask Dr. Macko that in just a moment. But let me express something to you, and I don't want to take any more time on this. But those of you who have listened to this radio program, or have gotten my books, my audio tapes, CDs, DVDs, and so forth, realize that we have a overruling philosophy in this ministry, Power of Prophecy. In terms of race, I believe race is important. Absolutely. But listen to me very carefully. The Bible puts it very succinctly. Jesus died on the cross for each of us. In fact, the Bible says clearly, and you've heard it many times, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. that word, whosoever, counts everybody in. Everybody in. Even if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, we see that Abraham was given a promise that he would be father of many nations. Many nations. We also know an interesting thing, if you just want to look at it from a genetic standpoint. Paul, the Apostle Paul, answered that very simply too. Paul, who was Jewish, he said that out of, this is in the book of Acts in the New Testament, out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of planet Earth. So friends, to me, that sort of resolves the whole issue. Now, the reason that it's important is because there are people in this world that do not agree with God. They want to make God a racist, and they want to exalt their group. And whatever race they are, you know who they are. They can be white, they can be black, they can be Asian, they can be Jew, they can be something else. They can claim to be Anglo-Saxon, and you know, whatever it is. They don't agree with God. Their argument is with God, and they are siding with Satan. And they are some kind of a racial supremacist where God said, whosoever will. Now, that's my sermon for the day. But I think it's important that Dr. Henry Mako has written this book because he has a perspective of race. And this book is a spiritual book. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wish there was one Christian man that had written a book like this that I could discuss these issues with. I would enjoy it. But Dr. Mako has written it, and it is deeply spiritual. And that makes all the difference in the world, that this man has been given spiritual insight. Illuminati, the cult that hijacked the world. Dr. Henry Mako, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
I'm glad to be on your show, Tex.
I hope I didn't say anything to offend you or whatever. I don't think I did I?
Not at all. Not at all.
In your book, you pretty well make clear where you stand on this racial divide. Is it okay for you to tell us about that?
I tend to feel that anything that the Illuminati is against must be pretty good. And one of the things they want to do is destroy racial identity for non-Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems, you know, racial identity is pretty good for Jews, but not too good for non-Jews.
Mm.
So that strikes me as evidence that it's that the racial identity is important component of our identity and something that should be maintained. Like, you know, if you go to Israel, they don't have to deal with problems like diversity and mass migration. Nobody questions the Israelis' right to maintain their Jewish identity, yet for some reason Europe and America are not being allowed to maintain their Christian European identity. And that doesn't seem fair to me.
You know, when I said before that God said whosoever will, I believe God, you know, the Bible also says God judges the nations and as well as individuals, and he obviously then created nations. And, you know, I don't have any problem with that. You know, there's squirrels and there's rabbits and there's deer and there's different kinds of human beings. And I agree with you. But what I was referring to, and I want to distinguish that, is that once we resolve, and in your book you say you're first a human being, second, you have allegiance to your country, and then only third, are you a Jew? I think you sort of rate them in that aspect. And I believe that that is true. And there's nothing wrong with saying I'm a Jew and being a Jew, associating with Jews. I think the problem comes... I agree with you. I think the cutting out of distinctions can be an evil thing in itself. But when one group suddenly says we're God's on earth, or we are collectively Christ, or we're the only, as you quoted the Israel Shamir in your book, when the Jews say we are the mediator, Jews only are the mediator between God and man, doesn't that create a great problem?
Well, definitely, but, you know, as you know, we have to make a distinction between Jewish leadership and the great mass of Jews. The great mass of Jews don't think of themselves as mediators between God and man. And I think the vast majority of Jews are quite alienated from Judaism and Zionism and all things Jewish. I say that more than half of Jews want nothing to do with Judaism, and that's the part of, those are the Jews that I speak for, the part that are generally quite alienated from the Jewish enterprise. They feel that it's been betrayed and taken the wrong path. So, the people we're referring to there are the, certain rabbis and certain Kabbalist Jews, the leadership, the rich, the very, very rich Jews, people that are sort of pulling the strings, probably the bankers. Those are the ones that have this a sick agenda.
But Henry, isn't it true, though? I'm not sure I agree with you on this. I'm not so sure it is a small minority of Jews, because it seems to me that, certainly you're Jewish and you certainly have maybe had contact with more Jews than I have. But the Jews that I have known seem to somehow have an allegiance to Israel, for example. Many of them do. And it seems to me that many Jews ask first what is better for the Jews than they ask what is better for Canada or the United States. You haven't found that to be so? I mean, I would say in America, for example, a vast majority of Jews would vote, for example, liberal Democrat policies, just as a political party. They would also support Israel. I'm just guessing, if you ask who's right, and let's say in the Israeli Pakistan controversy, I would say that a good 85% of American Jews would say Israel is correct. Am I wrong in that?
Right, Tex, and you meant the... Did you say Israel, Pakistan, or do you mean Israel-Iran?
The Palestinians. I'm sorry.
Oh, Israel.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, to me, I know many Christians who are Jews, but I only know a small handful who are not Zionist. I know only a small handful of so-called Christian Messianic Jews who put America first. They are American citizens, but they will always say God wants us to put Israel first. The Jews are God's chosen.
What I'm really getting at here is, yes, people are manipulated. We know who owns the mass media. I'm more concerned with the manipulators, the puppet masters, rather than the manipulated people. And like I'm saying, I still believe half the Jews. You don't meet these alienated, assimilated Jews, but statistics show that half the Jews intermarry. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it?
That is.
And, so you're essentially referring to the other half. Those are the ones that are visible, and sure, I wouldn't deny that they're pro-Israel, but then they're pro-Israel for the same reason that probably the majority of Americans are pro-Israel. They've been indoctrinated. They've only been told one side of the story for reasons you and I both know, because the media generally only tells one side of the story.
That's true. I guess the difference is, my forebears supposedly, I haven't checked my genealogy very close, Henry, but supposedly they came from Scotland. I don't run around all the time worried about the foreign policy of Scotland. I let Scotland take care of itself. I'm an American. And it seems that Jews, however, distinguish, because they somehow add, they get all entangled in all of this Israeli stuff, so that basically many begin to have a dual allegiance, and then finally they end up with only a single allegiance, and that's basically whatever's good for Israel is good for America. And that's all I was talking about. Now, your book.
Yeah, well, I can't justify that behavior, and I don't agree with it, and I'm not going to pretend it doesn't exist. I'm just saying that it isn't the only position American Jews take. There are a lot of American Jews, like myself, who put their country, the United States, first.
Well, I praise God for them. And as I said, I know just a handful in Christianity, and I know Dr. Henry Macko. So I know you because I've been reading of your stuff in your book, and I know where you stand, Dr. Henry. Well, one of the things I should have mentioned that Dr. Henry Macko has a PhD. He's not only the author of Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World, but another excellent book that's available on his website about feminism and the New World Order. And you ladies out there, you might want to get that book, and you men too. It's entitled Cruel, C-R-U-E-L, Hoax, Cruel Hoax, Feminism and the New World Order. It's published in 2007, but it's very timely right now today. And by the way, we're offering the book Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World, but both that book and Cruel Hoax are available on Dr. Macko's website, and that's henrymacko.com. Real simple. H-E-N-R-Y-M-A-K-O-W. M-A-K-O-W. Real easy spelling. Macko, and it's M-A-K-O-W.com. henrymacko.com. Or Save the Males, M-A-L-E-S. You heard of Save the Whales. Well, this is savethemales.ca. But either one of those will take you to the same website. Dr. Macko has these two books plus other items, and he has some outstanding articles. I can't promote them enough. By the way, he's a brilliant thinker. He is a inventor of the game Scruples, that I think is a very interesting situation. So I'm glad he's on the show. Now, Dr. Macko, is there an elite people that you would call the Illuminati, and what is their goal?
Well, essentially, from my perspective, this seems to boil down to the people that control the credit of the governments of the world. These are the shareholders of the central banks. I don't have to tell you or your listeners that the central banks of democratic countries should be controlled and owned by the governments of those countries. They should be public. And I don't have to tell you all that they're private. And essentially, you know, this started with the Bank of England back in 1694. So this Illuminati conspiracy has been going on for over 300 years. And I believe that it's these people that are trying to reshape the world in such a way that they can justify their totally disproportionate share of the world's wealth. I think there's statistics that show that 2% of the people of the world own more than 50% of the world's wealth. I also suspect that they have this Kabbalistic philosophy, which is essentially satanic, in which they, since they create money, they think they're gods. They are going to replace God, and they're going to redefine reality. And so I think these are the people, this is the hidden hand that has shaped world history since the 17th century at the very least. And it is behind the Enlightenment, and it's behind this move to secularism. And I'm afraid that it's ultimately satanic, and we're beginning to see evidence of its satanic nature. I believe that secularism is just a way station on the way to Satanism. And we're already seeing this Satanism in our daily lives. there's so much anecdotal evidence, but the latest is there's a trailer on television for a movie in which, and this is on primetime TV, in which the characters, you know, talk about incest openly and blatantly, and as if it was a ha-ha matter. This is the insidious, diabolical, hidden agenda in the mass media, in the education system, in the culture. And I'm afraid that's what I mean when I say the cult, it's really a satanic cult, that hijacked the world. These people are Satanists. It's bad enough that they want to have all the monopoly on wealth, but they also, they're malevolent in character, and I believe they're ultimately responsible for all the horrors that humanity has experienced.
You know, on page 6 of your book, you state flat out that we are entering a dark age, immoral, coarse, fiendish, ghoulish, I call it all those names. You talk about the homosexual agenda, the incest. You know, a couple of years ago, and things have got even more worse, we have like 200 channels on our Time Warner, you know, cable system here. I told Wanda, I'm going to get out my notepad and I'm going to go through all of the various movie channels and see what's on the topics. And that one night, you know, I don't know how many movie channels there were, maybe 50, but they had themes of necromancy, communication with the dead. There was a movie on about sex with the dead. There were the vampire movies in which the vampires were having sex with, you know, beautiful women. There was a movie about eating other human beings, cannibals. There was a movie on about blowing up buildings for no reason at all. I think it was called The Fight Club that night. Blowing up buildings and violence. Every one of those things were on TV on just one night alone. And it's almost like a feast of deviltry, isn't it?
Exactly. It's intolerable, yet it's more than tolerated. It's like evil is to, you know, tolerance is for evil and for decadence and degeneracy, and intolerance is for morality and for what is wholesome and good. I mean, we live in a truly sick society.
We really do, and you also say in your book that it is a Jewish conspiracy, and that basically they're foisting upon us a very sick Jewish culture. That this is the sickest of the Kabbalist and the Talmudist, and you know it's just the whole thing is like some kind of a disease. And by the way, I'm not saying that, you know, if you go to India where they have Hindus. In other countries, they certainly have those shocking and repulsive systems of sexuality and culture there as well. But it seems like all of these systems somehow at one level or another, maybe because Satan is their author, does it seem to you that they all sort of work hand in glove in some strange mosaic type of way?
Yeah, I can't understand how that how they interact, but people like you and I have to look at this from the outside because we're not Satanists. We've never been part of these Satanist organizations, so we tend to have to understand them by virtue of their effect, the damage they do, what their intention seems to be. I do know that there is a whole satanic streak in Judaism, and these Satanists in Judaism were called Sabbateans, and then later they were called Frankists. There's a big movement, and then they went underground. They were actually ostracized by by Jewish rabbis, and they were declared a heresy, and then they went underground, and now we, you know, and when they went underground, they basically infiltrated every group, not just Jews, but the Christian Church. They became the Illuminati. They took over Freemasonry. So they've infiltrated every organization, and their power is based on the fact that the central bankers, the Rothschilds, were Frankist Jews. So it's hard to say where they are and who they are. They operate subversively, and they're just there to turn events in a negative fashion at a critical moment. Also, they make a point of pretending to convert, or pretend, but they pretend to be Jews too. But they also pretend to be Christians. They're very big on intermarriage. So I think they're best described, you know, yes, they originate as in Kabbalism and Judaism, which is definitely satanic. But I think they're basically, they've spread so far and wide now that I think they're best characterized as Satanists.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. I can think of two talk shows I was on, one down in Florida. The host was a Jewish man and seemed to be a fine gentleman. And we were talking about Freemasonry, which you do a lot of exposing in your book, Illuminati. And a gentleman called up. It was Jewish. Evidently, they had a lot of Jewish listeners to this program in Florida, in Palm Beach. And he told the talk show, he said, Mr. Morris doesn't know what he's talking about. Freemasonry is not an evil organization. I'm a Mason. I've been a Mason for 30 years. In fact, he says Freemasonry is Judaism. He said, just repackaged. That's what we are. We're just Jews. And the host, who was not a Mason, Henry, said, are you saying that the Masonic Lodge is made up of Jews? He said, everyone in my lodge is a Jew. We're all Jews. That's what we do. It's based on Judaism. And I thought that was so interesting. At the same time, I was on a show here in San Marcos, Texas, where talking about Freemasonry, and the police chief called in and was just furious at me. And by the way, they escorted me out of town. A police cruiser did. Show you how mad the police chief of that little town was, because I was on that radio show. But he said, Mr. Morris, you're so stupid, you don't know that Freemasonry is a Christian organization. So you see, they both believed, one of them believed they were practicing some kind of a strange form of Christianity, and the other said, Mr. Morris is so stupid, he doesn't know this is Judaism. Isn't that interesting that they interlinked?
I don't think, you know, Judaism, you know, does not have apart from the Ten Commandments, does not have a, you know, and Moses, does not have a strong teacher and a strong kind of doctrine. So we really don't know what Judaism is, but its most defining books are the Talmud and the Kabbalah, and those are satanic.
Yes, they are. Dr. Henry Macko is my guest today. We're going to have to take a little break here. In fact, we're going to offer his book. Again, get that pencil and paper ready. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy, and we'll be right back after this brief message. What is the cult that has hijacked the world? Well, Dr. Henry Macko, in this book, Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World, tells you it's a satanic cult. Its leader is Satan. You know, it's interesting to me that if you look at the brilliant men who have exposed the Illuminati, and I'm not just talking about the everyday person, and there's 200 books out on the Illuminati. I'm talking about the people who are given insight by God to expose these things. They know that it's satanic. They know that it's Luciferian. John Quincy Adams, the 6th president of the United States, was probably the most intellectual and philosophical of all of our presidents. Maybe Thomas Jefferson was a close second. But Quincy Adams, John Quincy Adams, was different in that he was a Christian. And he opposed Freemasonry, which was the Illuminati. And he said that it is wicked and evil. There's nothing good in it. It's sinister. And he said its master and author is Lucifer, the sixth president of the United States. His father, of course, was the second president, John Adams. Lucifer. Lucifer is the head of the Illuminati. A lot of people don't understand that. You can listen to all these patriotic talk shows. You can go on all these patriotic web pages, but you'll never have a true understanding of what's going on in the world. Yes, it's money. In fact, Dr. Macko says it's a banking cartel. And he brings in the Rothschilds, and he tells you all about the Rothschilds, and he goes through history. This is an important book with much documentation in it. It's around 250 pages in length. But most of all, Dr. Macko says, look at the satanic aspects of this. This is deeper than just government and banking. This has to do with men's hearts. With men's hearts. Don't you know, dear friends, the spiritual always trumps the material? Always. Now, Illuminati, the cult that hijacked the world, you must have this. Is it a Jewish conspiracy? Yes, because they're using the Jews in Zionism. Dr. Macko explains that exactly. They've hitched on to this thing, and they're taking Zionism for a ride and using it. Just as he explains in this book, they did the same thing with Nazism, with communism, and dating all the way back to the Illuminism of the French Revolution. All revolutionary causes are by the Illuminati. And again, this book is so valuable in that aspect. What about anti-Semitism? Yes, they're using that. It's a vehicle that they use to destroy opponents of the New World Order. He talks about the hidden history in here, Zionism and the Holocaust. He talks about the Illuminati murder of presidents of the United States, world wars being orchestrated, and much, much more. Are the Rothschilds Illuminati agents? He says they are, and he proves it in this book. Did the Rothschilds and the Illuminati use Hitler to create Israel? Dr. Macko says, yes, they did. And he presents documentation of it. By the way, he also exposes the Canadian tools, Lester Pearson and others, who were prime ministers of that great nation of Canada, and how they also were stooges of the Illuminati conspiracy. You must have this book. Friends, I believe this is the most important book you could buy this year. And we're offering it for just $20. $20 for this book. And I can't recommend it enough. Please get this book. Now, here's how to get the book. $20, add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25 postpaid. You can phone us toll free in Canada, the United States. Phone us. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also go to my website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And you'll see this book just right on the home page there. You're going to see a big advertisement for this book. That shows you how important I believe this book is. It's the most important book published this year and maybe this decade. You need this book. It explains, it lays it all out. What is Judaism really? What has Christianity contributed to America? Why do the Illuminists promote the satanic cardinal doctrine, do as thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law? That's a question I'm going to be asking Dr. Henry Macko in just a moment. Okay, now, go to the website, order this book from the website, okay, 24/7. Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World by Dr. Henry Macko. That's M-A-K-O-W. And by the way, you'll want to read a lot of the other articles and things from Dr. Macko on his website. It's henrymacko.com. Henry Macko, M-A-K-O-W, com. You can order his other book that I highly recommend, Cruel Hoax, Feminism, and the New World Order. And by the way, Dr. Mako was kind enough to send me a review copy, and after I read it, I gave it to my wife, Wanda, and I said, Wanda, you'll want to read this book. But it was a little bit safe for me to do that because I know that Wanda agrees with Dr. Mako, and it'll reinforce what she believes and give a lot of evidence and documentation for it as well. It'll improve your marriage, dear friends, by reading this book. It really will. I think it's like a marriage counseling book. But more than that, if you're single, you need this book. If you're single, you definitely need the book, Cruel Hoax, by Dr. Mako. And now we're going to return to Dr. Mako. Oh, our address. I'm sorry. Sandra reminds me. I'm always forgetting things. Our address, if you want to send us that $25 postpaid, $20 for the book, Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World. Or say, hey, Tex, send me the book by the Canadian doctor, and I'll send it right out to you. Well, no, we have smart people here. They're probably smarter than me. They think they are sometimes. Sometimes they really are. Our staff here. In any case, we'll get the book right out to you. And as always, dear friends, when we get your order, we count it as a piece of gold. We don't take 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We get your order out here within 2 work days. That's right. You order something, you want it. And we're going to send it right out to you. If we have to work overtime or weekends, we're going to fill our orders because you come first at Power of Prophecy. Now, our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road. We've been here over a decade now. Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. I might add, we've had 3 years of IRS audits and several visits by the FBI. And you know what? We're still here. And we've been friendly with all of them. Oh, they've audited us. They've tried to intimidate us and bully us. And we're still friendly with the IRS and the FBI. If they were to come today, I'd still offer them a cup of coffee. I mean, I wouldn't much appreciate their harassing us. But, you know, you just got to take those things sometime. Because truth tellers always face opposition. Always. And it's a pleasure to be on the right side of the Lord. Okay, now let's return to our guest today, Dr. Henry Mako, author of Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World. Dr. Mako, in your book, you say that this is a satanic doctrine whose author is Satan, and that, you know, the shibboleth of the Satan, Church of Satan, is do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Is this sort of the mindset of the Illuminati?
Well, it definitely is, and it's also the mindset of liberals, socialists, communists, all the people who've been indoctrinated to think that what is normal and healthy is and wholesome is somehow boring and must be rejected. You know, if we look at nature, we can, you know, if we look at the universe, the changes of the seasons, the night and day, it's obvious that there is a design. It's obvious that there's a design in creation that you know, that when a child is born, he's perfect, you know, and all you have to, and a plant, all you have to do is give a plant a little bit of water and a little bit of sunshine, and it has an inherent design and it flourishes. All it needs is a few things, you know, and that those principles govern human life. You know, God has blessed us; it all works. There's a design, but we have to follow the design if we are going to be healthy and going to flourish. And we have to have just a little bit of food and a little bit of light, which is love. And so when what they mean by do what thou wilt is, it's basically ignore the design. Or the inherent design, and do whatever you damn well want. Well, in other words, make yourself sick is what they're saying. Go ahead, because if you will follow your lusts, you're going to become addicted to them, and you're going to be sick. And that's what do what thou wilt is all about. It's the implication that it's the assumption that there isn't enough, life does not have enough inherent goodness and inherent rewards, just ordinary life. And these people think that they have to indulge in drinking or sex or God knows what degradation in order to find happiness, when of course they just find suffering. And so do what they wilt is really means just ignoring the inherent design and order, that God-given order in life. And that's what they're telling people to do. It's quite obvious that men and women are different. It's quite obvious that women want strong men who are protective and loving and loyal. It's quite obvious that that results in a strong marriage, and that a strong marriage is essential to bring up children in an economically and emotionally secure environment. And so what are they doing, these Illuminists? They're trying to destroy the basis of gender, which I explained in Cruel Hoax, by making women compete with men for the male role. They're breaking up families. This is satanic. It's deliberate. Deliberately breaking up families so that women have to raise children by themselves, you know, insecure economically and without the support and love of a husband. It's all a huge cosmic conspiracy. And you can see its evidence everywhere. You can see it in communism, you can see it in socialism, you can see it in revolutions. A revolution, of course they're going to put on this window dressing about, we're only concerned about the downtrodden. That's nonsense. They don't care about the working class. Ultimately, at their heart, revolutions is about Lucifer replacing God. That's what revolution means. It means turning the order 180 degrees on its head.
Mm. So, you know, you mentioned the Sabbatean Jews in the first half of our program. I remember reading a number of times how they believed that for a person to become like a human god, they would have to embrace the darkness as much as they embrace the light. They would have to experience, to taste all that the world of sin has to offer before they could be a person of light. Isn't that some kind of a confused doctrine?
Yeah, it's these people are crazy. They're just crazy. Doctrine is a redemption through sin.
Mm.
It's some nonsense about the Messiah. You know, they're obsessed with the Messiah coming back, which is nonsense. You know, their Messiah anyway. The Messiah, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus was a perfectly good Messiah, and their mistake was not accepting Jesus,
mm.
my opinion. But how could they accept Jesus? They worship the devil. You know, so naturally they're not going to accept Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because Jesus had these things of goodness, as you mentioned, that were natural things to present to them, and they were unnatural men and women, as they are today.
These people are at war with the natural order. They're at war with what is healthy and good and wholesome. They are at war with what is loving and sustaining and uplifting. There, you know, it's a cancer.
Mm.
A cancer that is totally got out of control. But, you know, they have to keep it under wraps to some degree, because when it gets too obvious, there's bound to be a reaction, because I think people will recognize it and be revolted.
Now, and you mentioned revolution, and every revolution, let's just take communism or the Illuminist revolution of the French, you know, in the 18th century. You say that they put forth this rosy paradise that they're after, the uplifting of the common man, but really they just have an evil heart and want to do evil. Is this what happened with communism? We know, you know, that Kabbalistic Jews, you know, the Lenin Museum now admits that Lenin was a crypto Jew. And so was Trotsky, of course. And the jury's still out on Stalin, although, you know.
He is half Jewish, if not totally Jewish. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole. The Jewish people have been duped into being instruments of these sick capitalist bankers. I've known communists. I used to be sort of kind of left-leaning myself when I was younger. These people are idealistic. They actually have, you know, they actually have bought into the notion that, you know, public ownership, everyone should own everything and everyone should share everything. Of course, that's the philosophy of someone who doesn't own anything and doesn't know how to earn anything, right?
That's true.
And that's the philosophy of people who haven't grown up and want the state to be their mommy and daddy. Nonetheless, so they're immature people. I used to be immature. I used to be left-leaning. But they're not evil people. They're just manipulated. And manipulated into thinking that the capitalists or the aristocracy is the problem and so on. Anyone who studies the Russian Revolution will know that the Tsar regime was making incredible reforms. They had given all kinds of land to the peasants. They were making incredible progress, and that was what was threatening the revolutionaries, because they're afraid they wouldn't have an excuse for their revolution. But is all these idealistic programs are just window dressing in order to sucker the people in. These people care only for power. Once they have power, they just blow off, you know, their supporters, and they really don't care. Nope, people at that level really don't care.
Mm.
It's very rare to see rare to see a genuinely altruistic movement, but I think we have seen that in the case of religions and in the case of Christianity, especially early Christianity.
As a Jewish man, and I know you don't put that first in your life, just like, you know, I told you I'm Scottish, but I don't put that first in my life either, which I think is a healthy way to look. But I don't deny that I'm Scottish, and I find it of some amusing and of some interest that I'm Scottish, you know. And so I'm not out to deny it or anything or to wipe out the identity. I just don't say that the Scottish are supremacist and deserve to rule the whole world, are gods on earth, that's all, which makes me a little bit different than many of the Jews. Do you feel a mission or a calling to Jews? In other words, are you out to rescue Jews? Is that more important to you than rescuing just human beings at large, Henry? Big question there. I was just, curious.
Yeah. It's kind of inseparable. I would love for Jews to herald to my writings, to receive my writings and to actually be touched by them. But unfortunately, people tend to subscribe to ideologies and beliefs that benefit them materially and offer them, social acceptance. So, in other words, the inherent truth is really a minor factor in what views people accept. Do you follow me?
Oh yes, I do. Uh huh.
So people. It's the old expression of what side of my toast is buttered on. They don't really. That's the world we live in. They really don't care what's true. They only care what will give them social advancement and material security. And that's been my experience with Jews and even, of course, to non-Jews. It's only people who are really moved by the spirit of truth who come to my writings and writings like yours. People who care about security and social acceptance, they avoid us like the plague. I don't have to tell you that, Tex.
Oh, they do, and that's true of Gentiles and Jews. You and I both know that. It is a human nature, and even Jesus says only the few will enter therein at the gate, and accept that truth. So we always know that's the minority. But I was just wondering, if you felt it as sort of a calling or a mission. Now, to me, I would like, to save as many Jews as I can. I sort of feel that way. But the interesting thing is, on the other hand, probably Dr. Henry Mako would be called a racist, a bigot, and a very evil anti-Semite by many Jews, ironically, because of this.
Well, I am, in fact, the subject of a complaint to the Human Rights Commission by the Canadian Jewish Congress, and I am going to have to appear in front of a government tribunal to defend my writings, and in all likelihood, regardless of what I say, I'm going to be condemned for promoting racism, which I'm not doing, but they use that as an excuse to suppress the truth that I am helping to expose.
Isn't that fascinating? You oppose racism. You oppose Jewish supremacism, or I suppose supremacism of any sort, and it is, you're exactly, though, the one that is falsely accused of that. This seems like some kind of a new inquisition, that you have to face a tribunal for your writings?
They're not accusing me of Jewish supremacism. Or,
No. But you're the one that opposes Jewish supremacism or racism, but they're trying to say that you are an anti-Semite. In other words, we have Satan twisting the truth. You and I, Henry, are exactly the ones who fight racism. You know, I started off this program telling you my philosophy, which I think pretty well comports with yours. It's maybe not exactly. I'm not trying to.
Well, I'll tell you, I think race is a good thing. And all this kind of, racism has gotten a bad name because it means you're going to harm someone of a different race. But a race is part of your identity. If it's good enough for Israelis, it's sure good enough for Europeans, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And by the way, I even put Texas first. I'm a Texan first. So that's sort of an American second. And I agree with you on that. Yeah,
they talk about sexism too, but that just means they're trying to deny differences between sexes. But there are differences between sexes, and there are probably differences between races. But this isn't about one race being better than another. I see races as all members of the human family. Each have something to contribute. It's not about one being better than another.
But what your book does, though, is expose a plot by a select, self-selected group of Jews in alliance with certain evil Gentiles who are, in fact, racist. They are racist. They are Jewish supremacists. You oppose them in your book, but isn't it ironic that you are the one that have the false accusations leveled at you?
Yeah, but it's, the accusations are always false because it's just an all-purpose, anti-Semitism is an all-purpose way of shutting people up. The devil, I don't have to tell you this text, but the devil, he proceeds first by deceiving and then by seducing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the world we live in. First people are lied to, and then they're bought off. And so it's the Illuminati, it's these higher-up people who are acting as the agents of the devil and running the world in this fashion by deceiving and seducing. But it's all the rest of, it's the large portion of mankind that allows itself to be seduced and deceived. I mean, what is their responsibility?
Well, they have the Bible talks about those who are willingly ignorant, which, you always seems like a oxymoron, but it does say that. They are willingly ignorant of these events. Let's go to something that we've only got a few more minutes, but is a very thorny issue. The Protocols of Zion. Henry Ford said that these are an accurate picture of what is actually occurring, whoever wrote them. You talk quite a bit in your book, Illuminati, about the Protocols of Zion. Do you see these protocols, this agenda, actually taking place today?
Well, yes, I do. But more importantly, in my book, I show and argue why they're not a forgery. I explain why they're not a forgery, and I basically present them as genuine, 100% genuine. And therefore, it's absolutely essential that people who want to understand our world read them carefully, study them, read them over and over again. That is the blueprint. It was never meant to get out. When it did get out, they had to say, oh, it's a forgery and you're a terrible anti-Semite. The Protocols of Zion aren't anti-Semitic. They're basically a plot by a group, tiny little group of Masonic Jews who are related to the bankers. All Jews aren't responsible for what a secret, tiny secret society does.
True.
Are they? No more than all Italians are responsible for what the mafia does.
Mm-hmm.
So why should, you know, so why should Jews take responsibility for the protocols, and why should Jews try to help suppress them? That just incriminates them. Jews have to do what I am doing, which is saying, yeah, it's true, and we want nothing to do with it. It's evil. It's not an anti-Semitic document. It's a satanic document that's anti-human.
Oh, that is really important. Boy, it's a satanic document. It's not an anti-Semitic. You know, we only have about 1 minute or so left here, Dr. Macko. It seems to me, if we could get your book, Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World, in the hands of millions of people, we could change this world. But it seems dubious. We're going to get as many as we can. The question I want to ask you in the very short time that we have left here, 1 minute or so, is there no light here? In other words, are we destined to be ruled over by these so-called God men, the Illuminati, who are turning the natural world on its end and promoting Satan and his agenda? Is there hope for us?
Well, there are places where I can look for hope, you know, and I think there are causes for hope. One is the fact that I can publish my book, and you can help me distribute it. That's a helpful sign that people who want information can get it. That's hopeful. The fact that the Internet is still relatively free, I think, is another very helpful, very, very hopeful sign, and we have to make sure that it remains free. And finally, I think we have to take some solace from the fact that I think events are going to unfold more slowly than we expect. We tend to have a kind of apocalyptic view of things. I like to think we have a couple of decades left before things get grim. This is a very long-term conspiracy, and they're going to be happy just to see people like me and you, Tex, die natural death, and deal with the younger generation that isn't quite so obstreperous.
Well, they're in trouble because we have a lot of young listeners, Dr. Henry Macko, and I think we're going to pass on the torch. Hey, I want to thank you, Dr. Macko, for being my guest today. Please stay with me. I want to talk with you right at the end of the program after it's over. But thank you so much for your courage, for your writings, and I hope to have you as a guest again very soon.
Well, thanks very much, Tex.
Well, this is Tex Mars. My guest has been Dr. Henry Macko, author of Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World. Hey, there is hope. The Bible gives a lot of hope. Revelation, the final book in the Bible, tells how it's all going to end. And I'm telling you, I smile every day. This is Tex Mars, praying that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.